Hello and welcome to Good Business Pays Television, where we talk to leaders in business and in government about payment culture. And today we are lucky to have with us Martin Trainer, OBE, who's the Small Business Crown Representative, if that's the right title, at the Cabinet Office in Government. Martin, nice to see you.
Great, lovely to join you today.
First of all, unusual job title, Small Business Crown Rep at the Cabinet Office. What does it mean?
Well, it's one of those sort of things. It's a very, very grand title. And I've learned one thing over the last 4.5 years. You would never describe it as an overly powerful position, but it always gets you a good table in a restaurant. Okay. Now, my role in central government is twofold. One is to work with government departments and arm's length bodies to try and make our procurement policies, practices and procedures simpler for SMEs to be able to navigate. But I'm also charged with working with the small business community to encourage them to think about contracting with central government or the wider public sector. But just to put that into a policy context, in central government, we spend about $60 billion a year on goods and services. And it's the government's aspiration that for every £3 we spend, we want £1 spent with SMEs, either directly or indirectly through the supply chain. If I was to look then at the rest of the public sector, and this is the money we send to local government, to devolved authorities, police, etc., that's something in the region of £300 billion a year in goods and services. It's actually 14% of GDP. So the public sector here in the UK is a huge potential customer for small businesses. And my role is to encourage them to think about pitching for some of that public sector work.
And if I remember rightly, if I've got my research right, you have a background in the Chambers of Commerce area as well, right? So you understand the world of the small business person.
Yes, I do. I have to say, by trade, I'm a hotelier, because my first 22 years I spent managing hotels, and then I moved from the Grand at Leicester to become the chief executive of the Chamber of Commerce there in Leicestershire, which a post I held for 14 years. So, yes, I've been around small businesses a very long time.
And I think as a small business, it feels quite difficult to do business with public sector bodies at the moment. I don't know if that's an unfair thing to say, but it feels like a big sort of mountain to climb for a small business to do business with public sector.
Terry, I think you're absolutely right. A lot of businesses will say to me, well, the public sector, you're too hard to do business with, you're overly bureaucratic, and you don't pay on time. Well, of course, the last one is not the case, because actually the public sector now is probably one of the better payers here in the UK. But as we know, with perceptions, then 9/10 reality. So a lot of what I do is try and myth bust and try and get out there and explain to business, actually, you can do business with the public sector. Now, it often rotates around when we will send you our pre-qualification questionnaire. When that good old 50-page document hits the desk, many businesses will say, my God, have I got time to read this, let alone understand it? But there's no excuse for the questions that we ask within that questionnaire to be in plain English. And I've seen some gobbledygook over the years, but I think now, largely, a lot of our documentation is a lot simpler than it used to be. But as I often have to remind small businesses, you know, we are still the custodians of the public pound, so therefore we would ask more questions than you would expect to see in a commercial PQQ. But what we do need to do is make it simpler for people to understand and navigate.
Yes, and we've done quite a lot of research at Good Business Pays that looks at payment performance of public sector organisations versus commercial organisations.
Yeah.
And it is clear to us that the public sector does generally pay faster than the commercial sector. So if you're looking for a customer that's going to pay you fast, then making it easier, I guess, for small businesses to deal with and partner with public sector was a good thing for small businesses.
Yes, I think that's right, Terry. And I know we're going to be talking about the new procurement bill, but I thought I would probably just read this extract, because it's quite important for small businesses to understand what how we're trying to tackle this. And basically what it says within the legislation is, and apologies for reading this out, but I want to make sure we get it right. Contracting authorities will have to report on their payment performance in the same way as the private sector, publishing twice a year and measuring payment from the time an invoice is received. They will also have to be able to publish in a single location, improving transparency and enabling greater scrutiny. 30-day payment terms will be implied into every public sector contract, even when not explicitly written in, and applied to the wider range of contracts than before, including defence and security contracts. These 30 days payment terms will also be implied into any subcontract that is substantially for the purposes of carrying out a public sector contract, no matter how far down the supply chain. Now, the reason I wanted to read that out, that is quite significant, because what we're basically saying is that if you, a big supplier, comes in and you win one of our contracts, we will pay you in 30 days, but we will expect you to ensure the supply chain is also paid in 30 days, regardless of what it says in the contract. And that's quite a significant move.
Yes, it is. It is. And I wish that commercial organizations would adopt the same practices. I wonder, though, how it will be policed.
Well, again, what we will do, we're not going to go out there and set up a massive audit regime and audit everything comes in. But what we will do is spot checks. And we have the ability then to be able to do that, because it'll be in all the documentation. What we're also starting to do now with large capital projects, you know, this is building roads, rails, etc. We're actually setting up project bank accounts. And this is a bank account dedicated to the project. It can allow us as the public sector to put money up front into the contract to be able to, you know, get this away quicker. But also it will give us visibility as to who is being paid in the supply chain and what it will look like. And, you know, if we're saying we want people paid in 30 days, that will, of course, give us the visibility. So that's very much the approach we're going to be taking. But even now, Terry, you've got the public sector, the Public Procurement Review Service, that's PPRS. That's out there to check that SMEs and businesses aren't being unfairly treated in form of procurement. But they also, if there is an issue in relation to non-payment or poor payment, you can claim, you can go into them and say to them, look, this is the issue I've got, etc., etc. And to date, they've managed to get £11.8 million worth of payment to small businesses that were overdue. So that is quite an effective service. It's there now and it's available now. But actually, as a result of the procurement bill, we are strengthening the powers of that particular organisation. So they will be able to be perfectly honest with you, debar people if they are not paying promptly.
Yeah. So there's a lot in that bill about payment speed, prompt payment, fair payment, bringing it into line with hopefully best practice in the commercial sector, the tier two, the tier three, etc. suppliers. What about the onboarding process? Because I know that is, it's quite a tricky process, but I think you're making it or proposing that it's made a bit simpler.
And I think, you know, let's be honest, the procurement bill is what I would describe as liberalisation of public sector procurement rules in the UK. As you know, we transposed all EU regulations into UK law, always on the basis that we would at some stage review those rules. We kicked off a review in 2019. We brought together an international panel because there were people there from South Korea who'd been through a similar exercise, New South Wales. But we also had, obviously, academics, as you would expect, leading business figures, etc., to look at how we could make public sector procurement in the UK a lot simpler. And again, from that those various work streams, we then published a green paper, and that's what we call a government consultation. Now, the green paper is very much a consultation. I dashed up and down the country, managed to get 641 quite detailed responses. I don't think they overly thanked me back at the office, but as a result of that, some of the stuff that we put in the green paper, we actually dropped because businesses said, well, look, it's a good idea, but it's not going to work. Why don't you do it this way? So actually, it was a very genuine consultation before we then drafted the bill, which we were taking through Parliament at the moment. And interestingly, Terry, on this one, we took the bill to the House of Lords first, as opposed to going through the House of Commons. Now, the reason that came about was that in the last Queen's speech, there were 39 bills proposed, and there just wasn't enough parliamentary time. So we actually launched the bill in the House of Lords instead. And I have to say, regardless of what one might think about the democratic deficit, I sat in on the second reading, and there were 28 peers that spoke on the bill. Nothing to do with politics. These are former business people that have been involved in public sector procurement. They've been involved in procurement for their own businesses. So actually, you had a really informed debate. And a lot of the amendments that the Lords put through, you know, the government accepted because it was based on actual real-time experience. Yeah. Where we are at the moment, Terry, is that we've taken it through the Commons now, and there's a process officially called ping pong. And this is where the House of Commons have put amendments in, the House of Lords have put amendments in, and between the two, we normally agree them. Unfortunately, because of the immigration bill, we've actually run out of parliamentary time. So we won't conclude this now until Parliament comes back in September. But we're still online for the new regime coming into effect in October 24. Now, the reason it's a year away is once we've got the principles of the bill there, we'll prepare what's called statutory instruments, which is the secondary legislation. That's the detail of how all this will work. And then we're going to spend 6 months training in these new procurement rules to contracting authorities. Now, you know, we can legislate as much as we like in Parliament, but the reality is, unless you train it in, nothing changes. So we make no excuses about saying spending 6 months training this in. And often for procurement officers that have been a very strict regime for 30 years, suddenly when someone comes along and says, we're going to liberalize this, we're going to take this away, etc., etc., that can be a bigger shock to the system as putting a great big piece of legislation on top of them. So we want to get this right. This is, the minister often says, you know, this is once in a lifetime opportunity to reshape public sector procurement here in the UK.
Because I guess this phrase leveling up that's been around for a couple of years, we're recording this obviously in 2023 in the summer, that phrase has been, this would be a great way of that idea coming to life in places all over the country, all over the
UK. Very much so, Ted. And interestingly, when we came out of the EU, we transposed all the regulations into UK law. But what then happened were that European treaty principles fell away. So that meant that we went back then to WTO rules. Now, under WTO rules, you can actually set aside contracts for SMEs and by location as long as they're under the threshold. But just to give you an idea, I think for central government, it's contracts below 120,000. For local government, I think it's something like 220,000. And for a capital project, it's 5.3 million. So actually, that gives us all a little bit more flexibility to set things aside, both for small businesses and again by location, which fits very much in with the levelling up agenda.
How much easier do you think it will be for local, for small businesses to see what opportunities are available? Because that's another question in my mind is, it sounds great, and I'd love to be doing more work with the public sector, but where do I find out as a small business that work is available?
Okay, well, there's first of all, we've got something called Contracts Finder. This is a free portal, and if you just tap that into any search engine, it'll take you to the site. So we advertise on that site any contracts above the value of £12,000 in central government and £30,000 for contracts in other contracting authorities. So, for instance, local government, etc. It's a totally free portal. You can go on there, you can register, and you register for what things you're interested in. And when something becomes available, you will get an email alert. Now, obviously, that's at a particular limit. If you, and I'll give you the example here in Leicestershire, they've got something called Source Leicestershire, and that actually is with the local government, the universities, and all, they, that portal there will do all contracting opportunities. So, for instance, you know, if there's something coming up for a couple of thousand or something like, it'll be on there. It obviously, we couldn't do it on that scale in because otherwise it'd be unwieldy. That's why we have 12 and 30,000 as our starting point. But actually, those are the two places to go. One is to your local government and your local social, because they'll all have something like Source Leicestershire, or certainly register for Contracts Finder.
Yeah. And bearing in mind, there may well be lots of small businesses who watch this who are learning quite a lot as part of this process around how to think about public sector as a customer. For those, we call them tier two type of opportunities. So let's say you know there's going to be a big road built and you're a small business and somehow can contribute to that. If you're going to be a tier two or three supplier in a supply chain, you wouldn't go to Contract Finder. You'd be looking presumably to the person who holds the main contract on that.
Terry, the answer to that is yes. So if you find, say, for instance, Kia was to win the contract to build a road for us, then obviously they will be advertising opportunities on their respective website or platform. What we are doing now is, once we're going to upgrade Contracts Finder, but we will be encouraging tier one suppliers to advertise subcontracting opportunities. So that's very much the drive going forward. The other thing that we have done now is we've asked all government departments to publish their pipeline for the next 18 months. And what that is where, say a Department of Education is going to build 12 schools next year, they would have to, on their pipeline, set out where they are, when they're going to do it, et cetera, et cetera. We're also putting on pipeline any contracts that are coming to an end and we're likely to re-tender. And we will also put anything else that we might be developing. That gives small businesses the opportunity to look at what's coming up and prepare. Now, the reason we've done that, we will do the usual invitation to tender, which is normally a four-week turnaround. If you're a small business, you've got to look at it. Does it fit in with the business plan? You know, can I deliver all of it? Do I need a partner? And I've got to write the bid. That's tough in 4 weeks. If you're a big company, you've got a standing bid team, then, you know, it's fairly easy for you. So what we're trying to do is give small businesses and large businesses, in fact, an idea of what it's going to look like over the next sort of 18 months, what's coming up. And again, what we will do is, once we've revamped Contracts Finder, we will put pipeline on there as well. So therefore, when something comes up in one of the pipelines, that when a government publishes it, you can also get an email alert. But again, what we're trying to do is give small businesses the opportunity to see what's coming up and to plan for it.
Now, local authorities is an area that we at Good Business Pays have been working on quite recently. As you know, we've been looking at the payment forms of local authorities. Two questions around local authorities. One is, I know that we've shared, and we're recording this in July 2023. So just for people watching, I've shared that data with you. And I just wondered if you had any general observations was number one. And probably a second question linked to that, which is what advice would you have, I suppose, for local authorities in terms of thinking about how they reach out to small businesses in their estate to let them know about all these changes as they're coming along in the pipeline, especially so that they can get ready?
Well, I think, first of all, sort of a general observation, I actually thought that the figures were better than anticipated. But obviously, from your report, and I'm sure that this will come out later, there are some outliers. And some of those outliers need to get their house in order. And as you heard when I read out earlier on what's coming into the bill, they will be forced to sort themselves out. But actually, in fairness to local government, I thought it was a lot better than it could have been, because there's an awful lot of money goes through local government. But I think when it comes down to communication, you know, if you take central government, for instance, we've got 4,500 procurement officers, all of whom have to be trained. Equally, once you come outside of central government, you've got local government police and all the rest of them who will all have procurement officers that need to be trained. So there's quite a bit of work to be done in that 6-month period. But what we will be doing for the supply chain, and we will make this available to all contracting authorities, we're going to do a series of knowledge drops. There will be a knowledge drop on the basis of informing people of the very basics. So it'll be aimed at the MD, the owner, chief executive, right? So it'll just sort of give you the headline, just so as you know what's happening. But as opposed to sending out the usual 50-page document, what we're going to do it through YouTube. So we're going to do a 40-minute presentation on YouTube as to what comes into the bill. Because, as you know, when somebody sends you a 50-page document, you know, unless you've really got excited on the front 2 pages, you'll put it on the shelf and say, oh, I'll read this later. So I think through, you know, changing the way we communicate, I think is important. We will, of course, then send out a second knowledge drop. And this is for the people that will be writing the bids. That's where the detail will be. And it'll refer back to where you can get more advice. That's the more the technical thing. But those are the two things that we're intended to do for the supply side.
And do you think that there are local authorities that are shining examples of the kind of thing that you put into the bill for the future, right? You know, here's an example of something that's going really, really well at the moment that we can hold up as an example. Are there examples of it?
Yes, and again, I've worked consistently with local government as well as central government, and there are some really, really good examples. Everybody talks about the Preston model. And this is where in Preston, the local authority recognized the only way they could ever balance the books was to outsource. I don't think they particularly wanted to, but that was the stark reality. So what they actually did there was they worked with small businesses in their area, encouraged them to go into consortia and then bid for the public sector contracts when they came out. Because obviously, what Preston were trying to do was to maintain the Preston pound, because if a load of external people come in, they win the contracts, et cetera, there's not an awful lot of money moving around in the Preston economy. So actually, that was very, very successful. And over 50% of the contracts that were awarded by Preston actually went to local businesses. Now, that's a shining example. There's another one that the guys up in Durham have been doing, engaging with small businesses, working on social value. Very impressive what that council has done. And there are lots of good examples of it. And again, I think from a procurement point of view, the procurement local authorities tend to do is place-based. So therefore, it's in the interest of the local authority to try and keep, you know, the expenditure in their sort of area. For central government, obviously, it's a bit more difficult because we're dealing with a national situation. So the location of a business isn't necessarily as important as it would be to a local authority. But there are some really good examples out there. And certainly where I've worked with local government, there is a determination to try and maintain the businesses in their area.
And the local authorities have done quite well in their payment performance, but the same perhaps is not quite so true with NHS trusts, which are a lot more variable. And I know that you have a lot of background experience in NHS trusts. Same question again, what was your reflection on looking at the NHS trust data?
I have to say that based on my experience a few years ago, I expected those figures to be a lot worse. But again, I think a lot of the issues within the NHS are antiquated systems, and they need to invest a little bit more and make sure that businesses are paid on time. And again, but there are obviously there's the internal market within the NHS where one trust to bill, another trust, and everything else, which is all good and well. But when I was in the trust in Leicester, we made sure that we prioritised SMEs, especially through the pandemic, because a lot of those businesses were hurting. So, and I think a lot of trusts have done that. And I suspect, looking at your figures, it's the ones that have made that sort of commitment of the ones that made the difference. But again, as I pointed out, Terry, the legislation is going to be very clear. We will expect 30 days payment.
Well, you can't get clearer than that. Martin Trainer, thank you very much for sharing so much of this with us. It's really important work, and thank you for all the hard work that you've put into it to get it towards the finish line. I know that you're battling to get it there. Thanks very much, Martin, for joining us today.
Great. Thank you very much, Terry. All the best.